This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Five questions provided by Pat Smith every single day. This is what we call Pat Ponders.
I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind.
It's time for Pat Ponders.
If you've been pondering what to do about that leaky roof, check out Alabama Roofing Professionals. Yeah, the drywall, little discoloration there. Yeah, means that you've got a leak somewhere in your roof. If you don't, well, at least have the peace of mind and get the free roof inspection. They're going to warranty any work they do. Don't forget about the blow-in insulation service they offer. Even though we're moving into the spring and the warmer weather, well, insulation is important for the cold weather as well as the warm weather, keeping your home energy efficient 12 months out of the year. Alabama Roofing Professionals, it's easy. ALRoofPros.com or 205-722-ROOF.
Question number one, guys. 36 years ago today, this took place.
Technical against the bench and against Bob Knight. Steve Reed, an excellent free throw shooter, will have the honor of shooting the technicals.
Looky here. Bobby Knight just threw his chair clear across the free throw lane.
And I think Fred
unbelievable. Jackson. He picked up another tee. We got three.
He's gone.
Bobby Knight famously throws his chair across the floor at Assembly Hall there in Bloomington, Indiana. Do you wish we had more characters like Bobby Knight in sports, or are you guys glad that it's kind of calmed down?
No, I tuned into Indiana games. Number one, it was, 1987, I believe, that they won the national title?
That's correct.
They had Alford and those cats, but... No, I would tune in also just to see Bobby Knight on the sideline. Wimp Sanderson was another classic example, our buddy Wimp, watching him on the sideline. Some of the other characters that we've had in not only college basketball, but in college football as well. So, absolutely. I think it added to the game. Now, some of the stuff that took place off the court with Bobby Knight didn't necessarily agree with, but... No, I think it's good for the game, and it adds intrigue, especially now when there's so many other things out there that try to steal your attention.
Not to that extent, Pat, no. I mean, colorful personalities, maybe, yes, but I don't think that I need any more people choking players and headbutting players and throwing chairs. I can do without that.
It was amazing. Bobby Knight brought his Indiana team down to the BJCC to play UAB years ago when Murray Bartow was the head coach of UAB, because Murray at one time was an assistant coach under Bobby Knight there at Indiana. And of course, Bobby put on a show like he typically did, turned around one time and kicked the scorer's table. I think busted one of the ads that was there on the corner of the table. And of course, you know, he got him a tee, but it was kind of the reason why a lot of people showed up was to see Indiana and to see Bobby Knight. So yeah, 36 years ago today, he made that infamous move throwing the chair across the floor.
And to add to something, yeah, physical abuse of a player, I don't agree with. I was going more with the antics that he showed with what you just mentioned and throwing a chair, choking a player. That's never acceptable.
Oh, absolutely. Completely agree. All right, question number two. NFL insider Michael Silver says that 10 NFL teams have kicked the tires on a Russell Wilson trade. The Seattle asking price reportedly starts with 3 first-round draft picks. Do you think that's too rich or not enough for Russell Wilson?
3 firsts?
3 first-round picks.
The immediate response is that it's too much. However, I will say it may depend on where your franchise is. If you're in a similar spot that, say, Tampa was last year, and you feel like you're a quarterback away from getting a title or two, and Russ has more tread on his tires than Brady does. If you gave those up and felt like adding him immediately made you the favorite in your division and the favorite in your conference, then I would say it's not necessarily too much. Because like we talked about with Tampa, I think a lot of these owners look at it as they're willing to sacrifice some down years and a lack of ammunition in building their franchise if they can get that Lombardi trophy. Because that's going to, everything that comes with that will end up being worth it in the long run. So, depending on the team, and most likely too much, but if you're a QB away and you could afford it, you had the picks, that's the problem, is you're going to have to go in a, you're going to probably have to go
right.
in 2023 and beyond, maybe even to come up with that to realistically get him.
Well, and looking at a team that it would be feasible to go ahead and do it, I do think it's too rich, but a team that, that maybe when you have the offensive weapons, you have one of the biggest offensive lines in the NFL. On the defensive side of the ball, you're getting better. I would think of a team like the Las Vegas Raiders. Adding a guy like Russell Wilson, I think that could immediately maybe not get you a Super Bowl, but certainly get you into the playoffs and vying for a Super Bowl. So I'm like Cole. It just depends on the team and the situation.
Yeah, like I said, Michael Silver, the NFL insider, says 10 teams have reached out and at least kicked the tires to see what the possibility is if Seattle would be willing to do something. All right, question number three. If the NFL playoffs / Super Bowl and the college football playoff dates were reversed, meaning the NFL finished their season first, is college football more popular than the NFL or about the same?
Mm-mm.
I don't think it's more popular, no.
No, I think there's probably a lot of NFL fans that, you know, they obviously, they check out after the Super Bowl. But if you had the Super Bowl first, I wonder how many of those NFL fans would still watch the college football national championship game if they were reversed and you played the national title game later. Because the NFL is still the most popular sport. Even it's hard to believe here in the Deep South where we, you know, we covet college football. But
so the calendars are irrelevant. The NFL would still be number one.
Absolutely.
I believe so, yes.
I think it would hurt the college game, too.
Okay. Question four. When you guys played sports, what was your favorite number you always tried to get? And if so, what was the significance behind that number?
Well, I think it depends on the sport. I mean, because I was trying to get 33 in baseball, but I wouldn't want 33 in football. 33, yeah. I just liked the way the number 33 looked in baseball. Yeah, in football, it was 78, and then went to 90 because I was asked to play some tight end. But I was always a fan of 7 and 9 for no apparent reason.
So funny.
I just liked the way that they looked.
I liked 7. I was a big fan of 3. I don't know if that was a Dale Murphy thing for me, but in baseball, 3, 7, and also, I don't know why, but 8. I always kind of liked 8. In basketball, I always try to get 23. 23 was never available. So I had 20, and I think 1 year I had 14. But those were the numbers for me. 7 and 3 were always big. Never wanted the number 6, which you don't see that many, just number 6s, to be honest.
It's not a super popular number.
Be curious now that Devontae Smith has made it popular. See if people want to go to number 6.
Yeah. I was number 67, which I wasn't crazy about, but they made me wear it because I was a long snapper and a backup offensive lineman. And I never played, but I wanted more of a defensive end type number. Still bothered me.
When you were assigned 61 at Auburn, Cole, was there another option, or is that just what they gave you?
That was what they gave me. And I just didn't want to. There were other. I would have taken 59. Because I wore 59 in middle school. My dad was a big Jack Ham fan. And then I would have gone 51 probably first, 59 maybe next. Wasn't getting 55. But
oh, why not?
That'd have been made for TV though. You try get that from Takeo.
I was kind of like, you know what, this is what they gave me, we'll just roll with it.
Made it your own.
Yeah. I just didn't want to change. So
all right, guys, fifth and final question. Yesterday at Fernando Tatis's contract press conference, Tatis said, I want the statue on one team. I want to be able to stay on one team and build my legacy over here in San Diego. So that comment made me ponder the statues outside of Bryant-Denny and at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So what do you guys think the next possible statues will be at Alabama and Auburn?
Alabama, well, I mean, would, and I'm
Does
trying
Mal
to remember.
Moore Does Mal Moore have a statue?
Mal Moore have one?
I mean, I think the further down the road we get, people are going to start realizing that, you know, what all he was responsible for.
Absolutely.
And what all he did for Alabama, and then the ultimate coup de grace being that he got Nick Saban there. Obviously had some help, but, I mean, he was the guy that had to go do it, and he did it. I don't know exactly where that goes or what that is for, other than to signify everything that he did for the university. But I think that probably, there's a good chance that that happens. Auburn, I don't know, man. I mean, Barkley just got one, so, I mean, the Heisman Trophy winners have one. Frank Thomas, maybe?
I'm thinking outside the box here, Cole, of somebody who didn't play sports at Auburn, but a sizable donation or a contribution to the school, you could get Apple CEO Tim Cook.
People
oh, seriously, you got the
statues?
Cook player entrance? Well, I don't know.
I don't think Tim Cook would want that. I think he would Dolly Parton that if that was even brought up, just based on his personality.
I think Frank Thomas is a good one.
I mean, Tim Hudson won the Golden Spikes Award. I don't believe Frank Thomas won that, did he? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Tim Hudson's the only Golden Spikes Award winner in Auburn baseball history. That's a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. So maybe one of those two?
Or you know, if he becomes president, Tommy Tuberville.
I wonder if Alabama's considered their Heisman winners, maybe doing something outside the stadium.
Yeah, you didn't have that conversation for a long time, but now it could be very real. That, you know, now that you have a few, you could find a spot to put those outside the stadium. I mean, you got all that grass leading up to the stadium. Go ahead and put another little area there and put your Heisman Trophy winners in.
Yeah.
I think they should do statues down the interstate of first-round draft picks heading into Tuscaloosa.
There you go.
It's like 7 miles of first-round picks.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because the construction around Tuscaloosa is already pretty good. That's what they need to quagmire that up more.
Line them up right there. Al Dodd will hook them up, get those things ready.
Some good old boy that's had a few, he's gonna take that grade 8 chain, and he's going to tie to that statue. So hit it!
He's going to be looking for a Landon Dickerson bumper, back. Too, because probably won't be able to get it off.
Taking it back to Woodstock.
That's today's Pat Ponders.
Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals, alroofpros.com, 205-722-ROOF.
This is Three Man Front.